As you get over to John 14, you know, before I go there, I saw something. I took the time to watch something. I watched it after the stream, but it was something that Dr. Billy Brim was doing, and it was last week, as a matter of fact. But they were doing this little thing called Back Porch with Billy, and I'm just digressing a little bit here, but it'll help us. And her son was sharing something, Chip Brim, who's the pastor of a glorious church. And he was talking about something regarding a particular scripture. But he was talking about how, and this kind of ties in a little bit with, you know, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. And he said, we need to watch how we talk about people that we interact with. And he said, you know, he was talking about how, and in this case, he was talking about a particular situation where he said, just talking about people we interact with, and we may come to the conclusion that they'll never know God, they'll never know Christ, and they may just go off to hell if they don't, you see. And he said he went to pick up Norval Hayes. Now, of course, Norval Hayes passed away recently, but he said he went to pick him up for a meeting. This is Chip Brim. And he was in the car, and of course, they're friendly. And he said, Norval said to him, do you want to know what the Lord said to me when I was laid out in the Spirit on the stage? Now, to give you the context of this, Norval Hayes was on a stage teaching. And he said, he started to talk about a particular person, and he said, they probably just went to hell. Boom! He got laid out on the floor. And he said they knew he was alive because he was breathing. This is why when you know certain things, you need to watch what you say. So he's a seasoned minister. And so that's the context. So anyways, they're in the car, and Norval said to him, would you like to know what the Lord said to me when I was out? And Chip said, yeah. And he said, this is what the Lord said to me. He said, who are you to determine who goes to hell or heaven? Ooh. He said, who are you to determine who goes to heaven or hell? And so they talked about that in this back porch with Billy. And I think we need to watch what we say about people. Because the Lord of the harvest, and this is what they were talking about, that when we pray, our prayers go up to the Father, and the Father takes those requests and gives them to Jesus, and Jesus in turn gives those to the angels and the earthly body to work on. That's why when we are sensitive to the Holy Ghost, they'll say, go over here and do this. Or go buy these groceries and you happen to be somewhere because somebody's praying. And when he spoke to Norval Hayes, he said, who are you to determine? He said to him, how do you know that I didn't speak to that young man before he took his last breath? How do you know? You know nothing. You're not God. And our responsibility is to pray for those that seemingly don't know God. And even the ones that do, and may need to grow up, we need to not talk about them and pray for them and keep our mouths shut. And when we see something that is you know, upsetting, we need to say, Father, forgive them. Father, I pray that you send angels and angelic activity to influence them in the name of Jesus. And the point was in this, that God will respond and do that. See, and when we are not, always think about this. If the scripture says, if this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, well, we know in 1 Timothy it says, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So we know no matter how somebody's acting, it's his will that they be saved. So who am I to open my big fat mouth and say, well, they'll never get it? Who are you? Who are you? And that just, I said, and keep my mouth shut. If I see something, I'm going to pray for them and ask God, who sent his son here to die for all men. See, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. So he could turn around and say, who are you? You didn't even care about me, and I died for you. See, so for us, it's best, and this is the kind of thing that we need to pray. When we go into settings that they're just no God, no wanting to know God. Okay, how big is your God? Are you just going to talk about all them goofy folks and all of that? Let me tell you something. They have a spirit, and they may be acting a certain way, but in their heart, they're empty. And you can bring the love of God into a setting. You can bring the peace of God into a setting, and they can see God through you. That's what Jesus did. He was a man. Yeah, he's God. But he was a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Sinless. Amen. But anyways, I share that because we need to, you know, talking about growing up, we just need to view things a little differently. Don't talk about, you know, well, they're not saved. Who are you? Who are you to even say something like that? You didn't die for them. I'll tell you, it checked me. It really checked me. I said, I will never, ever utter something like that ever again. You know, it's time to grow up. Time is short, and there's people that are lost and don't know him, and we need to get God operating in this earth to a greater degree. Amen. Billy Brim was sharing some things. She said, you know, again, I have to take it for what it is. She said this. She said she was the director. I'm going to get to my message in a minute. But she was talking about, we know that she was the director over the publications and so forth for a period of time, for about 10 years at Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And she said one of the greatest things was that she worked for and interacted with Brother Hagin when he was alive. And she said he came into my office one day and he sat down and he started to talk to me. And he said, before Jesus returns, this is what she said, before Jesus returns, there's going to be a merging of the two ages, the church age and the age to come. And he said, we're going to have a merging of that in this earth. Here's what he said. I'm not going to see it. He said, but you will. He said, there's going to be a greater. And when he talked about the merging of these two ages, he said, there's going to be a greater angelic activity and visitation here in the earth. That's what we're talking about, this merging of two ages. And I just thought, you know what? We need to be more sensitive to spiritual things. And God is trying to reveal himself more so before it's too late. And there's going to be more activity, more spiritual activity. We need to be hooked in. And we need to change our thinking about things that greater is he that's in me than all of this stuff. Yeah, the devil's going to pull out all the stops. But greater is he that's in me than all of this. Right? Okay. John 14. Look at verse 1. And we've been looking at this particular scripture. It said, let not. You know, you just stop right there. Who's speaking here? Jesus. If he said, let not. If he said, let not, it would be untrue or unfair if he told us to let not and we didn't have the ability to do that. Would it not? If I told you, go do something, I already know you got the ability to do that. So he said, let not. What's the inference there? Me. You let not. Let not what? Your heart be troubled. So that means I can choose to let not something. Right? I have the ability, so it's a choice. So when people say, I just can't, not true. You choose not to. But Jesus said, let not. So we have the ability to let not something bother us. But I just want to let it bother me. Right? I want to let it bother me. But you could let it not bother you. So let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then jump down to verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I do what? I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I like the Amplified. It says, peace I leave you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. That makes it a little different. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. So that means we have a choice. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. The Passion Translation, it says, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. In John 16, verse 33, says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So if he overcame the world, who's living in us? The overcomer. He's living in me. So the greater one's living in me. So as we shared before, God is not going to control your mind. He won't. Because he said, you let things not trouble you. So God won't control your mind, and the devil can't. He can't make you think on things. You can choose to not, or you can choose to. That's why the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So you can choose to think on things. You can get, in a stuck thinking about things. But when we're faced with real life pressures and problems, then we're going to have to do what? We're going to have to exalt him and seek him in those situations so we can get wisdom on what to do. Now let's jump over to Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at the, just looking at reviewing some scripture here, but I want to make a point that the Holy Spirit just impressed upon me today. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be what? Careful, or you could say that word careful means anxious or anxiety. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. What does that mean? Not one thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, you know, it's interesting when the Spirit of God had Paul write this, he said, be anxious for nothing. He didn't say, be anxious for nothing just in these areas. And then this area, it's okay. He didn't say that. He didn't qualify it. He said, nothing. No thing are we to be anxious in. Not one thing. So that means you can't come up with something that catches God. Oh, boy, I didn't think about that. Yeah, we missed that area. No, he said no thing. So that means that everything has been covered by what? Redemption. Everything's been covered. Or supplied. And verse 7, and the peace of God, so if we do verse 6, if we do that, we bring everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, we let our request be made known, then this says what? And the peace of God, the shalom of God, which what? Passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now how do we keep the peace of God? How do we keep it? So we've got some responsibility. We have to do this. We have to bring our prayers, supplications, and thanksgivings to God. And then when we do that, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds. How do we keep that? Verse 8 tells us. This is how we keep it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. And if there be any virtue, any praise, do what? Think on these things. So that means we're going to have to think on some things other than the problem. Right? We're going to have to. And it takes some effort. You know, it's like what I shared. I purpose. I'm choosing. No matter what goes on in the day, no matter what comes up in the morning and what happened during the day, and I'm looking at it at the end of the evening, I'm choosing, because I want the word to impact me, I'm choosing to read 1 Corinthians 13 multiple times during the day, every day, every day. I don't take weekends off. You know, we say, well, I don't take holidays off or vacation. I'll read that next week. No, every day, just like we eat, you read it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking on those things, for me, which is 1 Corinthians 13, I'm thinking on things that are true and honest and lovely and of a good report. And when you do that, what happens? Love begins to grow. Peace begins to grow. Your whole view begins to change. You see things different. So this continues. Philippians 4:6. And those things which ye have both, what, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So you could almost say greater, you know, sometimes we have to just, if we're not experiencing something, then we need to put the word of God where? In our mouth. And we begin to say, greater is the peace of God in me than what I'm experiencing. Greater is God's peace in me. My flesh could be crawling, my mind could be tilt, but that doesn't determine the peace of God in me. What determines it is my faith in Him and me meditating in the Word of God and putting the Word of God in my mouth. And when I do that, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep what? My heart and mind. It'll keep it steady. So some of these other translations, a lot of them are saying the same thing, but it says don't fret or worry about anything. Stop worrying. The Weiss translation, it says stop worrying about even one thing. See, when we worry, it affects, what is it actually affecting when you worry? See, because you can't have your mind on the Word, you know, try to think of two things at the same time. You can't do it. You're either going to be, you know, that's why when God says you're either going to serve God or mammon, you're either going to have your heart in one direction or another. So if we have our mind on our problem and we keep thinking about it and meditating on it, then how do you have your mind when we're supposed to be thinking on these things? And he said, well, people will say, well, it's just so hard. I can't. Yes, you can. You can choose to. You can choose to. You can choose to think on it. You can say, it didn't say it wasn't easy. You could say, you see, sometimes we can say, this is hard, but greater is He that's in me than these things that I'm experiencing. Sometimes we get over in the ditch here. The Word says what? Hebrews 11:1 says faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So if I'm not experiencing peace, then what am I supposed to do? Operate in faith, which speaks of something I don't have yet. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Not, see, we people get in a ditch. It didn't say you call things that are as though they're not. I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have anger. It sure looks like it to me. I don't have frustration. I don't have frustration. Looks like it to me. You are frustrated. You are angry. You could say, I'm upset and angry, but greater is He that's in me that's in the world. Greater is His love. You're calling something, you're speaking of something that isn't as though it is. That's faith. And these principles will work in every area of our life. Because if we don't, the devil will just run roughshod in our lives. He just will. So the basic translation says, have no cares. Don't take care, but in everything with prayer and praise, put your request before God. Amen. I like this, the passion. It says, God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus. He'll make them aware. So one of the things I wanted to just go back and look on, let's go to Matthew 6. Let's look at this again. Just real quick, Matthew 6:25. It says, therefore, I say unto you, do what? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? My translation, and I'm sure yours does too, it says, take no anxious thought. And every one of us knows it doesn't mean you don't think about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. That's silly. It means don't take anxious thought about, oh my God, what are we going to do? We don't have enough money to get this. We don't have the resources to. What are we going to do? And you get stuck thinking about that. That's anxious thought. And everybody in here knows the difference. When your stomach starts to get in a knot and you can't sleep at night, that there's something wrong there. That's anxious thought. So we need to stop that. But it doesn't mean you don't plan out something for your life. It doesn't mean that. It just means you don't get anxious and all in a knot over it. Right? It says, which, in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Sometimes the way we talk, that would bring that into question, wouldn't it? Which of you by taking thought, that means anxious thought, can add one cubit unto its stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, continues again, take no thought or anxious thought, doing what? Saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, let me just stop, you know, because it has put in a different light for me. And I kind of connect the two together. When you begin to question the word of God, you're questioning who? God. Because in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And so the same thing, when you begin to say, you know, none of you have been laid out on the floor in the spirit like Norval Hayes was, but when the Holy Ghost said to him, who are you to determine who goes to heaven or hell? How would each one of us like to, when it says, God's not doing this, he needs it. How would each one of us like to have God lay us out and say, who are you to say that I won't meet your need? Who are you to say I won't clothe you and feed you? Boy, that would put it in a different perspective for all of us, wouldn't it? Because if he said it, then he will do it. He said, shall. So that means, you know, a lot of times when it don't happen like we think it should happen, I go back to that, who are you? Who are you? If God said he'll do it, then he'll do it. And I need to respond accordingly and say, thank you. I believe you, and you will meet my need. And you will clothe me and feed me and meet my need. And I am satisfied. I mean, even Paul said, I've learned how to be both abased. You don't hear him complaining, God didn't meet my need. No, he said, I learned both how to be abased and to abound. So we need to, there may be seasons we walk through in life, but we need to thank God that he's meeting my need. Everything I need is met. And I thank him. Amen. No matter, I like to say it this way, don't consult your feelings. Don't consult your feelings and determine the word based on your feelings. No, sir. The word of God is settled. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Second Timothy 1, verse 7, familiar scripture. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of what? Love and of a what? Sound mind. So he didn't give it. You feel in fear, it didn't come from God. He didn't give you a spirit of fear or timidity. He didn't give it to you. He gave you a spirit of what? Power. That word power is actually dunamis, which means the miracle-working power. He gave you power. It says power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, meaning the power of God is in me because he's in me. Greater is he that's in me. So he gave me his power, his nature, right? He's in me. And it's greater than this fear that's trying to come on me. Amen. And he gave me a sound mind. That means self-control. The Passion Translation, it says, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. That's what he gives us. Romans 8, let's back up a little bit here. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. It says what? For we have not received, see, this is tying in with not being given a spirit of fear. Fear is bondage. What does this say here? For we have not received the spirit of bondage, what? Again, see how bondage and fear are tied together? We've not been given the spirit of bondage again to what? To fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The greater one's in us. His love, his power is in us. Same thing, Jesus, what did he say? Take no thought. So we don't yield to the fear. If we don't yield to the fear, it can't get in, can it? Can't get inside of us. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? Doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. You can tie that and say, if I took the OP off, I'm pressed of the devil. You can see here, what does the devil do? He causes fear and pressure. Pressed. Amen. Look at Psalm 9, verse 9. Psalm 9, verse 9. Psalm 9 and verse 9. Love the Psalms. I'll wait till everybody gets there. Look at it in your translation. I'm going to read from the King James. This is Psalm 9, verse 9. It says, the Lord also will be a what? A refuge for who? The oppressed a refuge, glory to God, in times of trouble. Who am I supposed to go to? Who's my refuge? The Lord. He's my refuge in what? Times of trouble. He's a refuge for me. Hallelujah. He's a strong high tower. And we run in and are what? Safe. Now, go over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and look at verse 29. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 29. And of course, if you've read this particular chapter before, the first it begins that chapter with talking about the blessings up through verse 14. And then from 15 to the end of that chapter, it talks about the curses. But look here at verse 29, talking about oppression and so forth. It says, talking about if you're under the curse, this says what? And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the what? The blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt what? Be only what? Oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Yeah, but my Bible in the New Testament says, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. So when oppression comes, you say, that's not mine. That's not mine. I'm in Him. I've been redeemed. So this is not mine. This pressure, this, it may come, but it's trying to get you to do what? Take it. But if I've been redeemed from something, the blood has redeemed me. And what does the scripture say in Revelation? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcame. We're going to overcome by the blood and the word of our testimony. What's my testimony? I'm not subject to this oppression. I'm not taking it. I'm not having it. And I resist it. What does it say in, I believe it, where is it? In James, it says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Do what? Resist the devil. Resist oppression. Resist it. But you've got to do what? Humble yourself. Seek Him. Amen. Go to Isaiah, Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And verse 14. Isaiah 54 and verse 14. It says what? In righteousness thou shalt be established. So this is talking about what's going to happen. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be what? Far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come near thee. Why? Because I've been established in righteousness. I'm in Him. The Amplified says, you shall establish yourself in righteousness. Rightness in conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Amen. Now let me just share this. Let's go over here for a moment. two scriptures to close with here. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Because this is what we need to do when we say humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Verse 2 and 3. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, who? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, verse 3, for consider who? Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, himself, what? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. I just took the time to look up this word consider. And this word, it says, for consider him. This word consider means to contemplate. And then the variations, you could say synonyms of contemplate is to ponder, to meditate, mull over, think about. So how do we consider him? We think on him. Think about his word. Meditate on his word. Speak his word. When we do, what does this say here? If we don't, what does it say? You'd be wearied. In your what? In your and faint in your mind. So the question is, does it matter what we think on? Sure does. Now let's take one look here. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Familiar scripture. Because this, you know, when I heard the Spirit of God say that this morning, exalt me, I said, yeah, that's what we're to do. That's what the Spirit of God is saying today. He's saying, just exalt me, press into me, exalt me in the middle of your issues. See what I'll do. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't exalt your problems. Exalt him. Exalt his word. 1 John 4:4, what does it say? Ye are of God, little children. And what? And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, most folks say, well, sure don't feel like greater. Well, then you're looking at what's seen, which is temporal, and not what is unseen, which is eternal. The Amplified says, little children, ye are of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. I'll tell you, the greater one's in us. The Barclay translation, it says, but my dear children, your life has its source in God, and yours is the victory over them, because the Spirit who is in you is greater than the Spirit who is in the world. Whosoever is what? Born of God overcometh the world, and this is the what? The victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we've got to what? Lift him up, exalt him right in the middle of the trouble and the turmoil and the storm. That's what Peter did. Peter didn't say, are you kidding me, Lord? Can't you see the waves and the storm? He did what? He responded, because the word that Jesus spoke, that one word, come, had in it the ability and power to cause him and enable him to walk on water. And when he considered that, he was able to. And what does it say? If you don't consider it, you'll be wearied in your mind. Yeah, you'd be wearied if you were in the middle of a storm. You'd faint in your mind. There's no way we can do this. But those things that we face in life, which are seemingly impossible, it looks like it will never change. And I would say, maybe it may change, maybe it not. But if we take the word of God, see, what did when the disciples woke up Jesus in the storm and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And he got up, spoke, "Peace be still," and it did. And then he upbraided them. He said, "Why did you fear? And you have no faith." So there's some things in this life God has given us. He's done everything that he could possibly do. And he's given us his name. He's given us his word. We're seated in heavenly places and in Christ. We're seated above all principality and power and dominion and might and every what? Name that is named. Not only in this world, but that which is to come. So that means you have all the power and the ability to confront these situations. And it takes a choice on our part to do what? Consider him. And consider that what? The greater one is in me. You know, I hope it's not too simple, but for me, the more I meditate on it, the bigger it gets. The greater it expands in me. So that when something comes, it's not the last thing I think of, it's the first thing I think of. Greater is he. 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 Sometimes you've got to just keep saying that. Say it for 10 or 15 minutes. It'll begin to expand. It'll begin to stir your heart. And you'll begin to look at the problem differently. And what'll happen? The peace of God. What does the scripture say in Philippians 4:13? I can do, not might be able, I can do some things. All things through who? Christ, who strengtheneth me. He's strengthening me. How? By the greater one that's in me. So when I face issues in life, I've got to begin to do what? I've got to continually speak the word. Always remember, the devil cannot weaken the word. He can't change the word. All he can get you to do is for you to deceive you to change your mind. And you make a choice. He couldn't force you to make a choice. He deceived you. And you made a choice to quit. You made a choice to think that your problem is bigger than God. See. So we need to just keep that. When this word strengthen means to empower. So we can do all things through Christ, which empowers me. That's a whole different way. He empowers me. So his power is in me. And I can do all things. That means I can walk through anything with his help. I can do that. Amen. So as we go through these weeks and months ahead, don't ever say, well, nothing ever catches God by surprise. And he knows that you can do it. You can, when he says, let not your heart be troubled, then that means you can do that through Christ who strengtheneth you. And when we do that, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and mind. How? Through Christ Jesus, who does what? Empowers you. You know, sometimes if you look up that word shalom, peace, it means prosperity. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your peace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you that you are greater in us than he that's in the world. We thank you, Father. There's no weapon formed against us that can prosper. And so, Father, we thank you that as we go forth and interact with this world and people and friends and acquaintances, we bring with us the power of God. We bring with us the peace of God. We bring with us the shalom of God. And we thank you for it. Thank you that it operates in us and it guards our heart and mind. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'll just say, you know, for the short time I've lived, you know, we all live a short time. It says what? A vapor. But just the short time we live, we can look at experiences we've had. And what I'm determined is that I'm not going to be pressured into making a decision. I'm going to let peace lead me. And I'm going to let the peace of God lead me, not my thinking or my understanding, but the peace of God. What does Isaiah 9 say? Just turn over there for a minute. Isaiah chapter 9. What is it? Verse 6. It says, for unto us is what? A child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. The what? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the who? The Prince of Peace. He lives in me. Peace lives in me. The Prince of Peace lives in us. He's taken up residence. That's why when we look at Galatians 5:22 and it talks about the gifts and fruit of the Spirit, talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he's what? He brings certain attributes in with him. His influence, his presence in me influences me. And so you want to yield to him, not the pressure, not the stuff going on. Because if you do, you won't make sound choices. You'll make pressure-filled choices. You'll be pushed to make a choice. Anytime you're pushed to make a choice, just do like a donkey. Sit down in the middle of the road and be stubborn. That's okay to be stubborn sometimes. You just say, well, I'll get back to you. I'm not making a choice. Well, you got to make a choice. You know how doctors do. If you don't do this, and I almost want to do like what God said, who are you to determine whether they live or not? I choose. Doesn't mean doctors can't help us, but when doctors start playing God and saying, you don't do this, you're going to die. Well, in the natural, that may be true. But they're still not God. They're still not God. And if we choose him, we can walk through situations and trials because he will do what? Empower us. We've taken too lightly the power that resides in us. His power, his enablement is in us. His peace is in us. And we don't have to bumble through life trying to figure out what to do. Peace will lead us into making right choices and we can walk in victory. Amen.